slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side poured forth a crimson tide. Pardoned is all my sin at Calvary. Cleanses my heart within at Calvary. My robes of praise I wear. Gone are my grief and care. Christ for my burden there. Wondrous his love for me at Calvary. Glorious his victory at Calvary. Vanquished our death and death. Oh, let his praises swell. Ever my tongue shall tell. Wondrous his love for me at Calvary. Glorious his victory at Calvary.
Oh, let his praises swell. Tongue shall tell.
The Lord bless each one tonight, and our brother Gary is away to preach for brother Billy in Albert Street tonight, so we're missing the family this evening. And then please keep remembering our brother Laurie in prayer. Laurie's still not just 100% feeling well, and we just want to keep praying the Lord will touch your brother Laurie. But we appreciate each one that's came, and do pray for Sister Jenny as well. This would have been her, I think it's her 29th, would have been her 29th wedding anniversary today. And Sister Lawrence took her for a wee couple of days away, you know. I think the wedding yesterday really got to her, you know, with seeing Hannah and myself. And it's not very long ago that Rock gave Lydia away to Colin. And we had a wedding service, and it really got to Jenny, I think, a bit, thinking of it all, which is normal. But we're going to meet again in a fair land. And we believe Rock's in heaven tonight. And we just look forward to when we're going to meet again, praise God. Just let us bow our heads again while we're standing this evening. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord and prayer requests, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward each and every one of us. Father, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight over every life afresh in this house and over all that's near and dear to us this evening. We ask for that token life for the blood of Christ, the Holy Ghost, to move in this house tonight. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will indeed have your way. We love you with all of our hearts. We pray, Father, for Sister Jenny tonight, for strength, for comfort, for all the family, for strength and comfort at this time. Pray again for Brother Laurie, for a complete touch in his body, for health and strength. He's such an encouragement to each one of us, and we pray you'll touch him and bless him. And for others tonight that couldn't be here, just bless them and be with them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we asked as we dedicate we Ada to the Lord that you bless her, that you bless Daniel and Mika, that you bless the wider family circle. Father, that you'll just have your way amongst us tonight. And Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. And it's, you may be seated. Sorry. It's really good to have Brother Charlie, my father-in-law, Sister Sandra with us, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law Dave, and his wife, Sister Donna. And the Lord bless you all this evening. And it's great to have my big son home. And Mickey was telling us before we came out that when they were picking the name for Ada, that this name was picked, but you didn't realize it just went recently to Holland, because her grandparents originated from Holland, for King William came from. And her grandmother was called similar to this name. And I thought that was powerful. They didn't know that when they picked the name, but it turned out it was a similar name. So we're going to dedicate Ada tonight. I'm going to call them just in a moment. And then we're going to look at the Word of God just for a few moments tonight. And I won't keep you too long this evening. I'll not any more in a couple of hours. I'm just joking. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm sure you all remember when Brother Ron Borthwick used to come over. And Ron started, and Ron would give us introduction and all. That took about half an hour usually. And then Ron would say, I believe in the message of the hour. So I'll take an hour. He would take an hour, and then it took him another half hour to get finished. But I won't be too long tonight. Don't be panicking. Praise God. Ada Jane McKinstry is not a lovely name. Ada Jane McKinstry. And we're going to dedicate her tonight, the 25th, the 8th, 24. And Ada means in the Hebrew, adornment. And also it means noble or nobility. So she's one to be adorned. Praise God. I'm sure she's apple of her dad's eye. And Jane means Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh is merciful. Also to be gracious. And in Mark 10:14, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. We don't believe in infant baptism or any of them things, because we can't find them in the Bible. We believe in dedication. The Lord Jesus is the one that started it. And he said, suffer the children to come to me. And he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. And that's how it all started. And we know that a prophet of God said there's three things left the church. Water baptism, communion, feet washing, that's the three things. But also there's a dedication of the children. And we believe that tonight. We believe in dedication, in dedicating the wee one. So, Daniel can make it have this wee card. We just come now and we'll just dedicate it now to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for we here this evening, and I bless you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. As the parents have brought her before you to give her unto you, we just dedicate her to you right now in Jesus' precious name. We pray, bless her. Pray your hand of mercy and grace will be upon her all the days of her life. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her and claim her for your kingdom. Pray for Daniel and Mika as well, that they come to the knowledge of the truth. And that you'll save them both, Lord, and watch over them and just bless them in the days and the weeks and months that lay ahead. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? She's got her mom's good looks. Praise the Lord. God is good. Praise God. I'm going to read from Genesis. Very well-known portion of Scripture this evening. Genesis chapter 4. If you want to follow with me this evening. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock an offering, and of the offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also the firstling of his flock thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, But unto Cain and to his offering I had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, thou shalt not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from the ground unto me from the ground. Then if I can just read one verse in Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Also in chapter 12 of Hebrews verse 24. Unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Here we have two brothers in the Bible, and really they were half brothers. We know that. And we know we could go into the book of the Epistle of John tonight, and the Epistle of John calls Cain the wicked one. That's what the Epistle of John calls him. But when it came time for these two men to bring an offering unto the Lord, Cain brought an offering of what he thought would please God. And the offering that Cain brought, what he thought would please God, was the fruit of the ground, the works of his hand, all that he was able to do of his own strength and ability. And there's one place and it says that he offered well. He offered well. He offered an excellent sacrifice unto the Lord, but Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. But Abel, you see, been a son of Adam. And Abel was a son of Adam. And because Abel was a son of Adam, some way, somehow in Abel, it was revealed to Abel to bring blood. And Abel, by revelation, brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And the sacrifice that Abel brought was a bleeding lamb. Abel brought a lamb, and he slayed the lamb, and God accepted the blood of the lamb. Because of man's sin, God wanted blood as a requirement. Blood is a requirement because sin came by blood. And I won't go into all the details tonight, but we know that sin came through the bloodstream, and death passed upon all men because men have sinned. But the Lord Jesus Christ came with his pure blood to buy us back. And here we see in Abel and Cain in the beginning, we see a picture before us. And we see clearly both Cain and Abel offered to God. Cain must have offered well, the fruit of the ground, but we know God rejected the offering. But Abel brought the blood sacrifice, the lamb. And we know that Leviticus 17:11 says life's in the blood. You know, the Bible actually forbids you to drink blood. It tells you not to drink blood because the life is in the blood. And Abel must have knew the life was in the blood. And how did Abel know the life was in the blood? And how did Abel know what to offer? Cain, what Cain offered was wrong, but how did Abel know to offer the right thing? And I'll put it to you tonight, because God, by revelation, gave it to Abel. And Abel had a revelation from God what he offered. And we tonight need a revelation from God how we can be saved. And we can't be saved by the works of our hands. And we can't be saved by attending church or all these different things. It's good to attend church. You'll hear, hopefully, the gospel in the church. But none of these things save us. It's only through the blood of God's Lamb we can be saved. And here we see that God gives a picture in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And that picture he gives in Genesis, and he shows us a bloodstream. And the bloodstream runs from Genesis the whole way to Revelations in the Bible. And then we read in those wonderful scriptures in Hebrews 9 verse 22, and almost all things are purged by the law, by blood. And without the shedding of blood, no remission. It was only through the blood shedding that Abel could come to God. Only through the blood shedding that God would accept Abel. And even though Cain's offering, would have been beautiful, lovely to look at, but it didn't please God. And sometimes people go through life and they think if they do good, and there's nothing wrong with doing good, we all should try and do good, but doing good doesn't save us. Because the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. And one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, I'll never forget this, is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. And nobody can be saved, only a sinner. And Abel knew he was a sinner. And Abel knew he needed something to cover his sin. And what he needed was blood. But Cain probably thought he was all right. He didn't realize he needed blood, and God rejected it. So we see clearly that Abel had a word revelation. He had a word revelation from the Lord. Not just a good thought, but a revelation. And the revelation revealed to Abel that without the shedding of blood was no remission. Now we can clearly see in Scripture that Cain is called the son of the evil one. In 1 John 3 verse 12. Not as Cain who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now I want to try and show you this evening. You could take it literally that Cain was of the wicked one. And I could prove that tonight. But even if you take it spiritually, every one of us before we're born again, we're led by the prince of the power of the air. Every one of us before we're saved are children of disobedience. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 here, let me read it from verse 1 to 9. And you hath he quickened, and that word means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now we are living in an age of disobedience. You know, I know you'll find this hard to take in, but not far from here, there's a school in Rich Hill. And that school has a cat litter tray. And that cat litter tray is for children that's going to decide of where it's a boy or a girl, that it's going to be a cat instead of a boy or a girl, and use a cat litter tray. It's over here in Rich Hill. And that's what they have now in schools. I read an article the other day that the mother should not be fit to change the child's nappy until it first asks the child, can it change its nappy? Now I'll tell you, that's not intelligence, that's stupidity. Because intelligence would tell any sensible human being if the child needs its nappy changed, go ahead and change it, because the child certainly can't change it his own self. But we're living in a society for the wrong's called right and the right's called wrong. And if you believe the Bible and you preach the word of God, you're an old fogey. But if you flow with the world, you're great. But I'll tell you, Cain, he flowed with the world, but God didn't think he was great. All of us were children of disobedience, among whom all we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and the mind. Here's a verse. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Tommy McKinstry was as big a sinner and bigger than any man or woman in this room. But the Lord Jesus Christ got a hold of me. And he changed me. Now here's what you'll hear. Here's what you'll hear. When I work with people in the meat man, did you used to drink? Yes. And did you used to do this and that? And I done more than drinking. Drinking's nothing compared to what I done. But they'll say, oh, I, and you turn to God. No, I never turned to God. God called me. No man can come to God except God throws him. It was the Spirit of God that drew me. In God's mercy, in God's grace, he spoke to Tommy McKinstry in a suicidal state in the depths of his sin, jailed in a jail. And the Lord spoke to them, and the Lord changed them. And here Abel's doing something in the human thinking, in the human mind. It's contrary to what looks good and looks right, but God accepted it because God required blood. Because only the blood can cover the sin.
And all of us are born in sin, and all of us are shaped in iniquity. We're not sinners because we sinned. We're sinners because we inherited it from our forefather Adam. And the Bible says sin entered into the world by one man. Adam disobeyed God. And God passed the penalty of sin on every man, and that penalty brought death. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every one of us will die if the Lord doesn't take us in the rapture. We'll die. And we'll go to the grave. We know there'll be a resurrection and all them things. But when you receive God's precious blood, there's life in that blood. There's life in that blood. And when you receive that gift that God's given, just like Abel gave a lamb in his place, that lamb took Abel's place. And it was a substitute for him. And God accepted the lamb as his substitute. And God accepted the blood of that lamb for Abel. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. It says here in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Abel being dead, you know he still speak. Even though Abel was dead, he still speak. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. So even though Cain slew Abel, he killed him to silence him. He killed him because he's jealous of him. He was jealous that God accepted him and rejected him. He was jealous. And yet God gave Abel a fair chance. God said to Cain, if you do the right thing, there's hope for you. But he wasn't willing to do it. But how many today are not willing to do the right thing? There's hope for every man and woman. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That we don't perish but we're saved. There's hope for every man, but every man and woman doesn't want it. Now let me read you this from a message called The Token. The blood speaks, yes. Does the blood speak? It can speak. The token speak, yes, sir. The voice of the blood of Abel cried out against Cain. We find that in Hebrews 12:24. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things. The blood speaks. How can the chemistry speak? It's the life in it. There's a life in that blood. And I tell you, there was a life in that blood. And that blood spoke to God, and God answered to that blood. Now, you think of this evening. When Cain slew Abel, Cain killed him. Because God accepted Abel, and God accepted Abel's sacrifice, Cain killed him. He killed his half-brother. And there he was, he killed him. And God came along, and God says, and what did you do with Cain? And he says, am I my brother's keeper. He had killed him. He killed his brother. And we see in the world today, people are still killing, aren't they? And God said to Abel, what did you do with them? And he starts making all the excuses already in Genesis. But God heard the voice of Abel's blood. And Abel's blood cried to God. God heard it. Heard the voice of the blood. Now you know faith's a revelation. Faith's not something that you work up. Faith is a revelation. And a revelation is something that God gives to you personally, so it belongs to you. That's a revelation. God personally gives you that faith, that revelation. It's through grace, by grace, through faith, you're saved. It's a gift of God. God gives to you his grace, his mercy, for you to believe and be saved. You can't do it to your own self. No man could come unto me except my Father draw them. No man could know him, save to him who the Son will reveal him. It's a revelation. But God can give you that revelation. And here we see Abel had that revelation. And Cain wasn't happy that he had that revelation. It's the same today. Just as Cain was against Abel then, there's a Cain spirit against the righteous today still. Now Romans 4 tells us in verse 4 to 6. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described it, the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And the word imputeth means he freely gives it. God freely gives righteousness without works. And Abraham believed what God told him, and God accounted it as righteousness for Abraham. And when we hear the word of God, we have to believe it. We have to have a response. Not only do we have to have a response, but a prophet of God at the end time says we have to identify with what God's saying. And it's all right to preach about Jesus on the cross, and a lot of people believe that. And it's all right to preach that Jesus shed his blood, and a lot of people believe that. The chapel believes it. Lots of people believe it. But every one of us as individuals have to be able to put our own hand on it, as it were, and identify with it. We have to identify with that sacrifice. Just as Abel, when he brought the lamb, Abel brought the bleeding lamb, and he had the blood in his hands. Abel was identified with the bleeding lamb, and God accepted it. And we must identify with God's bloody lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to miss a lot of these things because it won't hold you as long, but I wanted to say, make some statements and show you the comparison and the contrast between Abel and Christ tonight. You see, the blood had a voice, and the blood had a loud voice, and it cries and it speaks, and the blood is a voice which God hears. Thy brother's blood cries unto me, were the words of Cain. But God said to Cain, God says to Cain, your brother's blood's crying to me. I can hear the cry of Abel's blood. He murdered him, and the blood cried. So God heard the voice of Abel's blood. The blood cried from the ground. And you know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, you read that God cursed the ground. And God, when God in the beginning cursed the ground, remember that in the beginning, before there was sin, there never was a thistle or a weed. There never was even rain. Dew of heaven watered the ground. Rain never came after the curse. Thorns and thistles never came after the curse. The gray hair, the bald head never came after the curse. The wrinkled face never came after the curse. That's the truth. But it was after man disobeyed God. Remember, Adam and Eve were in a paradise. They were in a paradise of God, but they disobeyed God and they were thrown out of that place where they were, that garden. And cherubims guarded the tree of life, lest to put forth and touch it, and they would die. And they were told what all the fruit to cut eat, but they were told there's one tree in the middle, don't touch it. For the day you touch it, you'll die. But the devil said, yeah, disguised as a serpent, we know that Satan possessed him, you'll not die. You see, and the devil tells you the same your day. The devil wants to tell you, all right, just go along with the flow. You're all right, go along with the flow. But God says you're not. Now, I want you to see the comparison here of the blood of Christ and Abel. Both of them are shepherds. So does the cry of the shepherd's blood. Jesus is a good shepherd in Scripture, and this illustrates his office as a priest. And Jesus is our priest tonight, John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, and he's our priest. So we don't need to go down to the chapel, and the Lord bless the Catholics tonight, but we don't need to go down and have an earthly priest. We have a heavenly priest. We have actually a more superior priesthood that we're under. Because this is the Melchizedek priesthood we're now under. It's superior than any other priesthood. Also, he is the great shepherd and the great shepherd of the sheep. So Abel was a shepherd and Jesus Christ is a great shepherd. And this illustrates his office as a prophet. Jesus was not just a priest, but he was also a prophet. Do you believe that tonight? Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. And that the Lord that works in us what's pleasing in his sight, 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The Lord's coming for his people again. Now we could say we've seen signs of the coming of the Lord, and we could say we know it's at hand, it's at the door. We know Israel's position tonight, and look how God spared them in the early hours of the morning. Can you say praise God? God spared Israel. The enemy, what was against him, and I don't believe the newscasts, but God tells us to pray for Israel. And an end time prophet told us Israel's God's time clock. Watch Israel and you know where you're at. That's what he said. But he's a good shepherd. Now here's also something about him. Abel died a death of violence at the hands of his relations. And Jesus Christ died a death of violence at the hands of his own people. So Abel died at the hands of his brother, and Jesus Christ died at the hands of his own people. John 1 verse 11. He came unto his own and his own received him not. Now I'll take you further. You could go to the book of Psalms and here's what you'll read. How did you get your wounds in each hand? This is when he appears in a physical form back to Israel. And they're going to see the nail prints in his hands and the nail prints in his feet. That's why I don't believe when people talk about his wrists and his ankles and they put it up on different things. I don't believe it because the Bible says his hands and his feet. That's why. But how did he get these hands and these nail prints in your hands and these marks in your feet? And the Lord will say, in the house of my friends, I received these. And God's going to open the eyes of Israel and they're going to turn to them. And they're going to be saved. Now, there's a lot to tell that. I'm just running over. Moses and Elijah's going to go to them. We know that. But it's God that's going to open their eyes. They're blinded tonight. Did you know the Jewish people's blinded so that us Gentiles can be saved? And you know when the last one comes in that God's ordained, when the time comes that only God knows, then there'll be a rapture take place. We're going to leave here and go out of here. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And tribulation's going to set in this earth. And God's going to send two messengers down to Israel, Moses and Elijah. We know that. That's the word of God. But here you see, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Here's another thing. The blood of Abel cried, and Almighty God heard it. And the blood of Christ cries, and God hears it too. The blood of Christ cried from where? Where did Christ's blood cry? When you go to the cross, there was a crown of thorns planted on him. So the thorns, which is part of the curse, were put upon his brow. And Abel's blood cried from the thorns for vengeance against Cain. But the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Abel's blood cried for vengeance. Christ's blood cries for mercy. So you and me is under a better covenant tonight, and we're under a better promise. The Lord's given mercy for you and me to be saved. And his blood speaks for us tonight. The blood of Christ stained the thorns which Jesus wore. You believe that? You know, they even beat the crown of thorns in his head. The Jerusalem thorn, they say, could be 3 inches long, and they beat it into his head. They bruised his cheeks. They plucked his beard. They spat in his face. He suffered all sorts of treatment, vile treatment, because he loved you and he loved me. Jesus Christ went to the cross, just like Abel's wee lamb was took to the altar and slain. And God saw the blood and God said, Abel, you're all right. This blood here is going to take you in. Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago shed his precious blood. And the Peter calls it the precious blood of Jesus. And his blood, God sees that blood. And God says, you're all right. This blood of Jesus has covered you. It cleansed you from your sin and you're going to get in. But you have to identify with it. You have to recognize your position as I recognize my position. And you had to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? Will you come into my heart? Will you save me? Will you wash me in your blood? I'm putting my hands on your head spiritually and I'm identifying with you. And the life of the blood will come in you and it'll quicken you. Because Romans says, in Romans, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Now that was a comparison of Christ's blood and Abel's blood, but I want you to see the contrast. Abel died by force. Christ died willingly. Abel wasn't willing to die. Abel was killed against his will. Jesus Christ died willingly. Jesus Christ said, a part I lay my life down, a part I take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I give it freely. Jesus Christ freely give us life for all mankind, that we can be saved and give us life. That's some price. Abel died as a sacrifice, offering a lamb on the altar, but Jesus Christ died as the supreme sacrifice of all ages. Hallelujah. The voice of Abel's blood cried for revenge. The voice of Christ's blood cries for remission of sins. Father, forgive them. The blood of Abel polluted the ground, but the blood of Christ is preserved in heaven forever. A father says to me, Tom, the blood of Jesus can't go to heaven. I says, I can prove you that it's in it. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 14, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so the heavenly with a better sacrifice than these. Do you realize that nobody could go to heaven until the blood was shed? Not even the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints could not go to heaven until Jesus died on the cross. And you'll read that they were held in a realm called Abraham's bosom. And when Jesus died and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he rose from the dead, the graves opened and them saints rose as well. And they saw them. And they were able to go to heaven. Because the blood of Christ had to be atoned for right to heaven. Now you know there's the life of that blood. And when that blood cell was broke, there's a life that was in that blood. And remember that death had no claim on Jesus. I want you to get this evening, and I'm going to finish in 5 minutes. You see, death's a claim on you, and death had a claim on every man and woman. Because we were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity, but death had no claim on Jesus. Because he knew no sin and he had no sin, death had no claim on him. His blood wasn't corrupted. His blood was a pure blood. His blood wasn't Gentile blood. It wasn't Jewish blood. It was God's blood. The supernatural God, blood of God was in the veins of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross and death had no claim on him, he challenged death to the war. And the day that Christ challenged death, death died. And Christ rose on the third day. And Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up at Calvary. Jesus Christ conquered death. He conquered hell and he conquered the grave. And he gave his blood for you and for me. You know, we had a brother that came across once and he went through the Old Testament sacrifices where they slaughtered the animals. And we don't have any idea really how much animals were slaughtered. It was far more than you'd ever think. And you know those big lorries on the road there that carry the fuel to the garages? It would have filled so many of those lorries. I can't remember the number. But the blood that came from them sacrifices on the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament would have filled many of those lorries. But that blood that was shed then, tonight's gone. There's no life in it because an animal's no soul. There's no life in it to redeem you and redeem me. It's not a higher form of life than you or me. But this life we're speaking tonight is the Zoe life, God's own life. And God poured out the life of Christ on the cross. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, he can redeem the whole world that will believe in him. And his blood's powerful tonight, powerful to cleanse us from all sin. To cleanse us from all righteousness. Let me read you this, chapter 9, verse 11 to 14, this evening. But Christ been coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made of the hands to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, this is not talking about the natural on the earth. Now, when Christ died on the cross, the priest in the natural was in the temple offering and the veil rent before him. Because there was a veil in the Old Testament and it was as thick as a man's hand, woven. I've studied it a lot. And it rent before him and it rent from the top to the bottom. You'd rent something from the bottom up. God rent it from the top, proving it's God. And the priest in there was in shock when he saw it. And Jesus Christ rent the veil, separated me and you from God. There was a veil that separated you and me from God. And just like in the time of COVID, you had to be at a distance. COVID put men and women at a distance. That you couldn't do this, you couldn't do... How many knows I'm talking about? There's a rule. But there's also a scripture rule. We were at a distance from God. We were separated from God. Our sin separated us from God. But when Jesus Christ rent the veil at the cross, God rent it, there was a way made back. A way was made back into the holiest of holy, heaven itself, because of the blood of Jesus. Look what it says here. But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer, sprinkling unclean, sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, listen to this, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he had no sin, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now you see, this is something here. There's many men and women tonight that go to bed and their conscience is troubled. And it remains troubled. And just like in the Old Testament, your conscience was never cleared. Because that sacrifice covered your sin. But this sacrifice that we're speaking about, Jesus on the cross tonight, it's a superior sacrifice. It doesn't cover sin. It removes sin. It removes sin from the mind and from the memory of God. And it sets you free. And the Bible says, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Not wonderful. So the matter we all know we've done things was wrong, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from it. But we have to identify with it. Have to identify. The blood of Jesus Christ reached the whole way to heaven, just as it was necessary that the earthly things be purified with blood, the heavenly things with a better sacrifice than these. That is the incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus. I believe tonight in the incorruptibility of the blood of Jesus Christ. He knew no sin. He had no sin. Sin had no legal claim upon Jesus Christ because his blood was not corrupted. He had no original sin flowing in his veins. And I'll go even further. His flesh never even seen corruption. Because I can turn you to Psalm 16 verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. You remember the prophet of God said, he said, God raised him up within 70 something hours, so that he never saw corruption. He says that. And the Bible says it. God raised him so that he never saw corruption, because he loves you. In Acts 2, verse 26 to 27, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh did rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the unholy one to see corruption. You see, if you can see this tremendous act, and I'm closing this. I'm going to close. You say, Brother Tom, you're shouting, you're getting excited. Don't. I'm not telling you off, that's just me. So, that's just the way I am. There's only one person I hate. That's the devil. And he's a short time. Old W.P. Nicholson said, he said, when the Lord brings him down with the chains on him to put him in the battle in the pit, he says, I'll give him a kick when he's getting in. See, the devil doesn't want nobody to get saved. The devil wants to lie to you all your life. He wants to keep you away from the cross. He wants to keep you away from getting cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He wants to tell you you're wasting your time, but he's the one wasting your time. I'll tell you, he'll use you, he'll bruise you. He'll take you down a road of no return. But Jesus said, straight's the way and narrow's the gate. And there's a straight way and there's a narrow way tonight. There's a close, listen to this. And I'm closing. And I always wonder if I preach that the people understand it. I don't know if I have or not. Only the Holy Spirit can unfold it all and speak to people. I'm not able to do it. But I've just shared with you some thoughts this evening. But I'll tell you this as a close. There's many rivers in this area, and I'm sure you've been in a boat. And you know, when you get in a boat and the stream's flowing, you don't even have to paddle the boat. You can just get in the boat and you'll go with the flow. And there's so many people today going with the flow. But you see, the salmon is a special fish. And at a certain time of the year, when that salmon wants to respawn and he comes back to the place of his birth, something in him moves him. Something that God by nature put in the salmon moves him. And he wants to go back to where he's born. He goes against the flow. And not only does he go against the flow, he doesn't come down waterfalls, he goes up them. The salmon actually jumps up waterfalls. Something that seems impossible, but the salmon's able to do it because there's something in him turns him against the flow, against the tide, that he gets back to his birthplace. And it's only the Holy Spirit can turn you or turn me tonight against the flow of the world. And the Holy Spirit won't turn us to some organization. The Holy Spirit will turn us to Calvary. To the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And we'll go against all the flow. And we'll go straight to the cross. You can't start if you don't start at the cross. If you don't start at the cross, you've never started. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ said, and Paul said, and Peter said, if we call on his name, we'll be saved. Now we know we're living in the last days, but here's a great promise from Joel in the book of Acts and the book of Romans. That it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is so simple that all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Let's stand our feet tonight and we're going to pray. Well, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, and I'm not going to appeal long or anything like that. But I want you just to consider these things tonight. And you know, I get excited, I get enthused when I preach, but you have to remember something. There's fellas that I used to chum with, and they're not here tonight. They're dead. But the Lord spared me. And I turned to the Lord because His grace moved me to do it. And if God's grace is moving on you, don't turn it down. Come to the Lord while the Spirit of God's calling you. This could be where you start tonight, a new life, a new chapter, as it were. Now, the Lord already knows everyone that's going to come. That's in His hands. I'm just preaching His word. But the Lord loves you tonight. And the Lord can change you. And no matter what you're going through in life, God can deliver you from it. And even if you're sick in your body tonight, the Lord can heal you. He's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a baptizer. And He's a coming King. He's alive tonight. Heavenly Father, I just thank you this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, while the voice of the speaker is silent, that the Holy Spirit will speak on. I'm asking you tonight, Lord Jesus, for men and women that's not saved, that you bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray for those that may be sick in the body or afflicted or an ailment. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them tonight and heal them. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your way in our lives, I pray, as we commit it to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. As our brother Mark comes, the Lord bless you. I thank you for listening. And we'll be back on Thursday night for prayer and Bible study, 7:30 here Thursday night. And the Lord bless each one. And please, shout out greetings back to England with us. It was so good to have you over. Pity we didn't have longer. The time's going so quick. Daniel and Mick has been here for 5 weeks. And it's just like yesterday. And we're going to meet someday and we're not going to part. Do you realize that? We might sit down for 1,000 years if there was time. Somewhere. But that's the truth. We're not going to part. And those that went on, we're going to meet them again. God bless you.
We'll sing 305, Under the Burden of Guilt and Care. Many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting with sin.
Under the burden of guilt and care.
on